Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. When I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Talking about bouncing back, baby.
We believe so strongly that we need to be perfect after trauma.
I think our purpose in life is to get glory, get affirmation, to feel good that day. That's not your purpose.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
No, I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
And today.
I love when you do that. And today. And I'm like, what are we doing? Today.
Okay, it's probably me like actually gathering my thoughts, like what am I about to say? It's like one of those fillers, like I'm actually not quite sure yet.
Yep.
Speaking of, it may have just been Easter. If so, happy Easter. If we didn't change our schedule, which could
literally
happen.
We always try to like do the episodes and then release it next week, but you never know what happens. Sometimes something real happens and we're like, wait, we recorded an episode on that. Let's release that. So you never know. Honestly though, hot take, Easter is my favorite holiday.
Good.
It literally is.
You're more like Jesus than the rest of us.
Well, let me tell you why.
I know some of y'all be like, my birthday is my favorite holiday.
Okay. My birthday is my, shoot. But birthday's not even a holiday.
Okay, hold on. Jesus' resurrection, my birthday. Jesus, this is you right now.
Shoot. I mean, you know I love my birthday. I start celebrating my birthday August 1. My birthday is September 19th. Yeah. August 1, I start planning. Honestly, July 1, I start planning my birthday.
You really do.
I love my birthdays. My mom went big or go home with my birthdays growing up. Too. And so with those type of moms, you're screwed.
Yep.
Like I would wake up with a balloon at the bottom of my bed, a You Are Special plate when I sat down for breakfast with my dream breakfast. She would bring me lunch of choice to school, and then I'd pick the restaurant that I got to go to for dinner, tons of presents and cake. And that wasn't even my birthday party.
I'm just realizing like I was so much more fortunate than my daughter is because I'm not like this. I'm not a party girl. I'm not a party planner. Please don't make me. You know what I mean? Oh, although Oakley's first birthday party was actually so dope.
I was so sad to miss
and
that.
Everyone who was there was like, dude, that was a really dope birthday party. Like was that the was the first again? Birthday party. It was Oakley's first big hit. And it was basically like CMA, Country Music Awards themed.
That's right.
And so we had a red carpet. We had little like champagne glasses with apple juice.
Naturally.
And I mean, it was like pearls and, you know, so much fun.
That's, wow. Anyway, I will go big when my kids have birthdays.
Yeah,
I know that.
I like the creativity aspect. But outside of that, I'm like, please don't make me plan a party. Like,
but outside of my birthday, Easter's my favorite. And here's why. Two reasons. One, you get to wear ruffles. And puff sleeves and wedges. But third, I love gummy candy like it's my life.
Okay, so Easter's your favorite holiday for no spiritual reason at all.
Sorry, Jesus. Slightly. That sounds bad.
So you like maybe, all the festivities.
Forgive me, I have sinned. Wow, yes. Wow, that's tough.
We're removing the shame from this place. Now tell us, just be real, and then I'll probably come in and rebuke you. But no, I'm just kidding. Come on.
But for real, it's the gummies. I love, literally.
Wait, you like the little chicken egg? What are those little chickens?
No, I don't like peeps.
Peeps, I don't either.
the sweet tart jelly beans here in the Sour Patch jelly beans, those are phenomenal. Phenomenal. Honestly, the Sour Patch ones though have really surpassed.
I don't think I've tried them.
Tried them. I love the cardberry eggs.
Oh yeah, those are good.
Those are so many calories though. I like, this sounds bad. This is what we're talking about today is weight and all the things again. But literally, I think there's just like that mental block of like, wow, there's like, yeah, we're not even going to go there, but they're fantastic. Yeah,
sometimes you attach, like, I know too much about that.
That is one of those things from when my eating disorder, I just remember like overindulging on them, feeling a ton of guilt and shame. But now my dad literally sent me a picture. He goes, look what I got at Costco for you. And I was like, Dad. And it is
the giant, the
biggest bag of Cadbury eggs. And I was like, Dad, no. I literally sent him a meme that said, get behind me, Satan. That's where we're at today. Speaking of, I'm excited about the topic we're talking about today.
Talking about bouncing back, baby.
Bouncing freaking back. And I think I hear this all the time of like moms saying, I want to bounce back to my pre-baby body.
We praise it. We celebrate. Yes. Oh, she bounced back quickly.
Yes. And it's like, why do we need to bounce back? We just had a kid. Well, granted,
we do it.
I don't know what that's like. But
we'll talk about that. But we also do it in other things too, like after a breakup.
Yeah.
Emotionally bouncing back. You know what I mean? Like, okay, she seems fine again. Like we do that. And we put these timelines and these pressures on people and ourselves.
That is so good. Yeah. And, but what it's are like, some other things we
try to bounce back from?
I'm trying to think. Okay, definitely weight. I mean, I hear you guys say that all the time. It's like my high school body, my freshman year of college body. I'm like, you're 37. You're never going to look the way that you did in high school. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you've had three children. You're not going to look the way that you did when you graduated college. I think bouncing back from a relationship is a big one. I think bouncing back from, gosh, I don't know.
We'll ask like after you have embarrassed yourself or something like that, how are you going to bounce back from that?
Yeah, that's true. I feel like, I mean, there's probably
those
so many more.
Those aren't really big ones though.
Yeah, but I feel like we believe so strongly that we need to be perfect after trauma.
Yeah.
Or we need to get the perfect
trauma's
body.
Trauma's a really good one.
Honestly, yes.
If you've gone through something really hard, you can feel this expectation to be okay again.
Yep.
To, you know, be just like your normal self. I want to be my old self again. I want to get back to, so maybe it's bouncing back, but it's also like getting back to this old version of yourself that you honestly had rose colored glasses on in the first place. Like you probably weren't that great then.
Okay, that's actually a really good point, because how often do we look back, even once again, you know me, body image girly, but I'm like, we look back on our bodies and we're like, oh my gosh, I was so good then. But I'm like, no, you were actually just as miserable or more miserable in that body.
And what's so funny is you hated the way that you looked at that point.
Exactly.
You were so insecure. And then now you're looking back at pictures being like, what was I so insecure about? Like I looked so good and now I don't. You know what I mean? And you're like, wait a second. Am I now, you know, 5 years from now going to look back at these pictures?
Yeah, and it's that convicting question of like, I don't know, maybe it's me, but I feel like it all comes down to contentment. I don't know, you know what I mean? It's like, are you content in what the Lord's doing right now? Are you content in the body that you have right now? And that, I believe, is like, man, wrestle that out with the Lord, because otherwise the enemy, Genesis 3, going to dangle the fruit in front of you and being like, you just got back to this place. And it's, fight the narrative. Like, was I actually content? I can look back on my high school body. I'm like, I was throwing up at the time.
Yeah.
Do I really want to go back to that? Mm-hmm. I was making terrible decisions with boys. Do I really want to go back to that? Or would I take 15 pounds more on my body and know Jesus more?
There have been some times where it's like, we'll look back and be like, you are actually too thin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I know that is probably triggering for some people to hear, because you're like trying to gain weight. But and then that's triggering for other people, because you're like, I want to like lose weight, or I wish that was my problem.
Yeah.
But like, it's so funny, like how we work so hard to attain these things, and then our perspective is what changes.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like later on, we just have different perspective. So if there's anything we can pray for, it's like, God, give me the right perspective for like how I am today.
100%.
I think the other thing that we do is that we don't like seasons. We don't like, and how freaking boring would that be if our stories
was
were
the
just
same
straight,
all the time.
Like,
yes.
Like, oh, she's just, okay, she's this perfect little doll who's always just been perfect. And it's like, nobody wants to be close to that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not relatable.
Yeah.
It's the human experience of up and down and going through twists and turns and what's going to happen next. And oh my gosh, I actually don't really like this part and it's hard, but it grew me the most. And you know, it's just this whole experience where I think we just don't like that. You know, we have this idealistic picture of what life's going to be like.
And it's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
And how truly, I love that you use the word seasons. Like seasons have existed since the beginning of time. Like the Lord intentionally designed seasons. And I'm like, yet we always put rose colored glasses on and say this season was the best. But I'm like, no, consider it joy, James says, when you face trials of many kinds. Because it produces character, perseverance, character, and character hope. And it's like, those are the beautiful seasons. And I think so often we tie a good season to the way that we look, a good season to the things of this world, rather than what was God doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think our definition of good is wrong.
Oh, for
because
sure.
Because some of the hardest seasons of our life, I think, are actually some of the best seasons.
Yes.
Because that's where God's forming us the most. And if we have this perspective of my goal in life is to love God and love people, which are the first two commandments. If my goal in life is to do those things and God is transforming me from one degree of glory to the next, like constantly making me in his image, and that's my prize, like I'm being made more like Jesus, then like where our definition of good is going to change, where it's like, okay, this really hard season or where I don't know what's happening next. And it's putting me on my knees and I'm having to trust the Lord because it's all I have and things keep getting taken from me.
Yeah.
Or I don't feel my best or I can't put my trust and my hope in all the things that I thought made me worth it, like my looks and my status and my career, whatever it is, this relationship. And when those things are stripped, that might actually be your good season.
Dang. And it says that no good thing does the Lord withhold. And so for you to sit here and say this season isn't good, you're literally saying God isn't good because he doesn't withhold good from you. Yeah. And I can understand that for maybe the single girl as you're like, how could this season be good? I'm single. But what would it look like to flip the script and go, man, let me look at what is going good? Because I think so often we just so associate our season with, I'm still single. I don't look the way that I wanted to. I'm not in the job and the career that I thought I would have. And it's like, no, like focus on the things that God is doing rather than oftentimes maybe the one thing that he's not, and it will flip your perspective all the time. But okay, I want to ask you a question.
Hold on, let me say something real quick.
Go, girl. Go.
Or even adding to that, the fact that even if nothing feels good, the fact that God has a plan.
Yeah.
You know,
and that he loves you.
Yeah, the fact that he's doing something that's so much beyond your comprehension level is wild. Yeah. How boring would your story be if you could figure it out and know every single next step?
Dang, you know, so good.
It would be so dull. And God is this author who creates stories that are really, really incredible. Yeah. And you get to turn each page one at a time. So even if your page that you're looking at today is like, wait, feels kind of blah.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, because the page is about to turn and you just have no clue.
Yeah, and I love this. I've been really meditating on Psalm 46. I feel like literally the Lord keeps bringing that to mind. And it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And I love this part. It goes, therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help rather break it down. And I don't know why. I just got this image of me standing on the shore, literally seeing the mountains cave in to the ocean, like literally waters roaring and foaming and the mountains quaking, and me just standing there at total peace because Jesus is within me. Therefore, I will not fall. He will help me at the break of dawn. And I don't know why that image was so powerful of like chaos can ensue all the time. But it's like, if you believe that God is wildly in control, wildly good, does not withhold good. I don't know. It just gave me a different perspective of like, man, if I were to watch that go down by myself, I'd be terrified. Mm-hmm. If I knew that the King of the universe was standing next to me, holding tightly to me, and he was orchestrating all of that and was in control, like we actually need to recognize that he's the one in control of everything, everything in your life. And sin has tainted that for real. Like your singleness can be because of sin. Your body image struggles are definitely because of sin. And I just feel like there's been this shift of going, but I believe that God, when I believe that God is with me, it changes everything. And I always cling to the line, if it's not good, he's not done yet. If it's not good yet, he's not done yet. And I believe that to my core.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I ask you my question now?
Sure.
Okay, so here's my question, because we're talking a lot about bouncing back.
Yeah.
So we have talked a lot about your journey being pregnant. Okay, and you...
Should I catch everybody up to speed?
Yeah, go for it.
Or do you want to like...
No, go for it. It's your story.
I got pregnant and quickly got really, really sick. So I think it's a really rare percentage of the people who get hyperemesis gravidarum. It's a big HG.
Big word.
It's a big word for you're sick all day, every day for 9 months. And I got incredibly sick. And some people will actually lose weight. I gained 85 pounds because I went from, I was training from a race running 10 miles at a time. And I went from that to I'm going 0.27 and I have to stop and barf. Sorry for the imagery, but I literally had to be sedentary. So I was basically like, I had to be sedentary my entire pregnancy. That's almost a year of my life. I'd never done that in my entire life ever. I was always very active. And so I went to being sedentary. Morning sickness, again, throughout the whole pregnancy, like I cannot describe to you the, like thinking about grilled chicken made me like hurl. And I learned quickly, like if you eat something that you know is going to make you sick, you're going to get sick. So anyways, you start doing all these things. So like all I can eat is McDonald's, which is so gnarly. Like that's literally not even real food. All I can eat is these nasty things. And I'm going to all these different doctors and natural doctors. And like, I can't, like this cannot be good. Like what can I do? And they're like, you just have to eat. Like you just have to get the food in. So anyways, long story short, I have this whole pregnancy where I'm now going from running 10 miles at a time to being completely sedentary. My entire lifestyle changes. I'm eating foods that my body is not used to. I gain 85 pounds. Now you want to talk about the bounce back? Like that's a lot of pounds, you know, to something that was largely out of my control.
Yeah.
So now, flash forward, I've lost like 50 of that, probably 55 or something like that, maybe a little bit more. And I'm still not to my pre-pregnancy weight. But like, is that my goal? Is that what you're going to? Okay, let's talk about. But like, that's like a little backstory for people who haven't been here for a while.
But then did you feel that pressure of like, I need to get back to my body that I had before a baby? Because I'm like, that's actually crazy when you actually just remove Hollywood, remove the culture, whatever. And it's like, we're literally birthing a child. And now we're said we need to get back to our body before we had a, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think
it's. But I'm like guilty, but I'm terrified of having a kid because I'm like, what's going to happen to my body?
Yeah. Well, even in the mom world, like that can be a big fear.
Yeah.
Even in the mom world though, there's this language of like my pre-baby weight, pre-baby body or things like that. And I think it's an unrealistic goal. Like I've said it before, but deep in my heart, I kind of know like that's not actually what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to embrace it's a new body. It's you've gone through so much change.
That's so good.
And there is some kind of spiritual correlation there with God making us new. Like there really is. And the whole scripture on a woman being saved through childbearing. We're not going to get into that right now. But there is something about the whole picture of like, it's actually a new body like this. So we're not going to talk about the old.
And the old is gone and the new has come.
Exactly. So there's scripture that literally says, do away with the old. Look, a new thing is coming.
Forget the former things, Isaiah.
Yes. Yep.
I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?
I love it. Keep going. Yep. Yeah.
You make ways in the wasteland. I'm like, oh.
Come on, girl.
But the wasteland was the thinner body. I want to go back to the wasteland, my Lord.
No, it does feel like a wasteland, though. When you're a new mom, like your body has changed. Your hormones are out of control. Your culture writes you off.
Everything about you has changed. You literally changed. You are a mother now.
If you are working, you're either home before you go back to your career, or now you're divided between like, do I actually want to go back to work, or do I want to stay home with my kid? And I was the girl who, when I got pregnant, I literally announced like, and nothing is changing about work. You know what I mean? Because where I worked was at a church where the culture is like, you get pregnant, you leave. And I was like, that is not my plan.
Yeah.
And I was just adamant about that. I'm not the girl who's been like, I can't wait to be a mother. I can't wait to be a stay-at-home mom. I just was not that.
Yeah.
I was like, I love to work. I love my job. I got dreams. I got goals. Like, let's go. And that changed, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I still have those dreams and goals. And some of it was calling, like God just kind of pulling me in a different direction that I couldn't say no to. We've talked about in another episode. But now you're home and you're going through all these changes. You're in the most vulnerable season of your entire life. Your belly is like, it's still there.
Yeah.
It still exists.
Yeah.
Like it had a baby in it. And your body's still bleeding and healing from if you had a C-section, a major surgery, or if you like, you just
totally
you're going through so many things.
Yeah.
And like, then let's talk about, okay, do I believe what God says about me? Do I believe I have a hope and a future?
Yeah.
Do I believe, you know, that I'm, can I be okay here in this wasteland?
Yeah.
Here in this, like, I'm being facetious when I say the word wasteland, because we talked about that. But like, can I be okay in this, the most unseen, most like vulnerable season of my life, where I also, for me, this isn't what you asked, but for me, it was, I put my hope, not necessarily in my body, but in my competence and my confidence.
Yeah.
So I've always like prided myself, not in a good way, in like being competent. Like I know, let's get, I can figure things out. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'll be competent. And then I'm confident. I've not really been the girl who's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then now I'm in motherhood, and all these voices are telling you all these different extremes of, this is the way to do it. No, this is the way to do it. If you're doing this, you're not doing well. If you're doing this, you're not doing well. And it's like the opposite things.
Yeah.
And you just don't, you feel so much pressure, and you don't know what to do. You don't know what you're doing. There's so many things that you haven't researched that you have to figure out. Meanwhile, again, you talk about your body, your hormones, all this stuff is happening. You're not sleeping. So I wasn't confident or competent, I felt like,
yeah,
in those situations. And it was the time where the Lord was like, all right, we're going to dig up some of these things. But this episode is not about becoming a mom. It should be, though.
But I will say, I remember that season for you. You were wrestling with that. Like, I remember it was really hard, and you were just like, who is Laura?
Yeah.
Without being competent and confident. Like, I have this whole new body, and it's really cool now to see the other side of it. I feel like I've seen the Lord really create humility in you and confidence that doesn't come from what you do, how you look, what you've done. And I remember my counselor said this to me, and this was, I don't even know, honestly, it might have been the Lord in quiet time with him. I think it was. He goes, your body was good then, and it's good now.
Good.
And I loved that, because I think, and I know a lot of y'all think this too, because I've talked to you, is that my body was good when it looked like this, and now it's bad. Mm-hmm. My body was good when it was in high school, but now post-grad, it's bad. Or my body was good before I had a baby, and now that I've had a body or had a baby, it's bad. That's not true. Your body was good then, and it's good now. You have literally changed everything about you. You're no longer a single girl in college. You're no longer a fill in the blank. You are a mother. And one of my favorite moments, I know that a couple of weeks ago, I told you about my Noble retreat. On the very last day before I sent these girlies out to spend time with the Lord, I said, I want you to spend time with the Lord. And from the bottom of your head to the bottom of your toes, ask him what the purpose is of every single part of your body. Like, why do you have a brain? Why do you have boobs? Why do you have a stomach? Why do you have arms? Why do you have thighs? Why do you have all this? And it was interesting when we gathered up, one of the girls goes, I felt like I pictured Jesus put his hands on my stomach and be like, this is for babies. Like, this is literally for children, not to have a 6-pack abs or 8-packs or whatever. And I felt like the Lord in my own world was like, your arms are for hugs, Nicoletta. They are not to look good in a tank top. Like, your thighs, not to have a thigh gap. And it was really this perspective shift. And obviously, 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about, do not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Therefore, you are not your own. Therefore, honor God with your body. And it's just that picture of our bodies, one, not our own. Two, not our own to just look really hot and skinny. Three, it's literally the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also something that, especially as women, it's literally to have children. Like, we have bodies to have children, to reproduce, and to share the gospel. And I just feel like I've been so humbled of that, especially as I've seen my body change in the last few years. I'm so quick to be like, my body needs to go back to the body that I had when I called off my engagement. Mm-hmm. Because when I called off my engagement, I could barely eat. I was so thin, and I looked dang good. And now, the word the enemy uses a lot for me is disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like, the words I hear him say, you're a failure, and you're disgusting. And that's just being like really vulnerable and raw. And in God's grace, he's really changed the word failure to fighter. Mm. He's like, no, you're not a failure. Every time you got knocked down, you got back up. You're actually a fighter. Don't let the enemy win. And the word that has really changed the disgusting is what we talked about a few weeks ago. Is the Lord just like, no, I see wonderful. Like, I literally see wonderful when I look at you and your body. And so I want to ask you, though, what would you say to the girl who is like clinging to her old body? That's like, no, that, I get it, Laura. I get it, Nico. Cool, cool, cool. That's still better. Like, that body is still better. The days that I was anorexic, the days that I had no body fat, Like, that actually is the goal. And so I hear you, but I don't believe you.
And I think this could apply not just to your body, honestly. Like, you're clinging right. to your old self, like your old personality, whatever that is.
Totally.
As you were talking
before
about.
Before trauma, before the breakup.
Yeah, whatever. But really quick, I wanted to touch on something that you were saying.
Go for it.
It sounds like we have a purpose problem. Like, as
That's
you were
so good.
Putting your hands on the belly, like, what is this for? Like, we have a purpose problem. We think our purpose in life is to get glory, get affirmation, to feel good that day. That's not your purpose. But if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us wake up and like, that is my goal today. Yeah. You know, my goal is to get the attention from the guy at this party that I'm going to.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, my purpose is often like, I need to look skinny.
Yeah.
I need to look good.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not true.
I need to look skinny because it makes me feel better about yep. myself. Like, why? Because it makes me feel something.
It's all about
me. It makes
me
feel this sense of confidence. And it's just like, okay, did God give you that for that reason? You know, did God create today?
Do you have a body to look hot?
Yeah.
No.
Did God create today for you to feel good about yourself? It's just, anyways, I think we have a purpose problem.
That's good.
But okay, I'm going to set the scene for you because this is the quote that I wanted to read a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
and
girl,
I'm not,
come on.
You know me, I'm not like really big quote girl.
You're not.
Just like, I'm not. I texted my mom's group, one of my mom's groups, because this was so impactful for all of us. And I knew that they would know, like, remember exactly what I was talking about. Imagine all these moms, like new moms, walking into a room. This is this thing at our church. We walk into this room. Everything's new for us. Everything's vulnerable. Like, even showing up there, like, we look different than we used to look, you know, yeah. when we started going there. And we're walking into this room with our babies to hear people talk about, you know, becoming a new mom. And this lady gets on stage and she says this quote that all of us were like, oh my gosh, I can exhale. And it was this, it was about the purpose of your body. She goes, my body is for my children. My arms may not be toned like they used to, but now they are to wrap them in a hug or to rock them to sleep. My legs are not used for the same things. They are now used to walk through life with them. My belly may not be flat, but it is their soft place to rest on. We were all just like, wait, what? Shifting this mentality of my body is actually serving a really incredible purpose. Yeah. And what I look at is as bad or not like it used to be. And I'm criticizing and critiquing and feeling shame and feeling like everyone's judging me for it. Everyone's yeah. wondering why I haven't bounced back yet. It's actually serving a really good purpose.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so good. I wrote, so with Noble, I'm like writing devotionals, just like all over the time. Whatever I'm reading, I'm like writing a devo. Maybe we'll use it, maybe we won't. But I wrote this down. I said, y'all, we were never designed to be worshipped or praised. Our bodies were not given to us so that we can post on Instagram in a bathing suit and people praise how we are disciplined in the gym. We were never meant to be influencers. The whole reason we have breath in our lungs is so that Matthew 5:16, others may see your moral excellence, your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And it's like our culture defines greatness as being praised by others. We want people to say, you got such a good body.
Yeah.
You got such a good whatever. You bounced back.
She bounced
good
back
job.
So quickly. Yeah.
Yes. But God defines greatness by being a servant to all. And I wrote this out to Matthew 20:26-28. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not be served, and then give his life away in exchange for many. And I just thought that was really interesting because I think so often we get it wrong. Like greatness in our culture is looking a certain way. Greatness in our culture is, like, again,
and
bouncing
it's true.
Back.
Like, that's
true.
You're not ignorant.
Yes.
You're not crazy for thinking that. Like, that is what culture says is greatness.
And I think we just have truly got the definition of great and good wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I get it. You're spot on though, Laura, of that culture does say that this is great.
Yeah.
Culture does say that this is good.
Yeah.
But what I love about this is that, this is actually funny, when I was talking to a girl recently and she was really struggling with body image and she goes, yeah, I just remember when I lost a lot of weight, I got a lot of compliments.
Yeah.
And so when I get all these compliments and then all of a sudden I don't receive them anymore, then I believe that my body must not be great anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here's the deal. If you got a haircut, I would compliment you one time. I'm not complimenting you every single time I see you about your great haircut. But yet what we think happens is that we had all these compliments, how we lost weight, how we look good, we bounce back. And then all of a sudden the compliments are gone. Now we associate that our body is no longer good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're associating the amount of compliments with literally that affirmation being affirming that our body is good rather than just resting in one, the Lord calls us good. Yeah. But two, I'm like, it would be annoying if every single time I saw Laura and she was like, your body looks really good. Your body looks really good. I'm like, am I not more than a body?
But yeah, it's so funny because girls do that too. Like if you want your body to look good, you want to get praised for your body. And they're like, ugh, he just wants me for my body.
Yep.
You know, like you just, we do.
Yes, but I don't know. It just was really eye-opening of like, no one's going to compliment you over and over and over about your body losing weight. And so just because all of a sudden the compliments are gone doesn't mean that your body has changed. Yeah, there's this weird flip in us that believes like if I'm not getting complimented on my beauty, on my status, on my body, on my accomplishments, that must mean that I'm not beautiful or fit or accomplishing things. Like people just aren't thinking about you all the time.
Yeah. And I think when you do get that kind of praise, there can be this fear of losing it.
And so you strive to be thinner. You strive to diet more so that you gain more. And I mean, I did this all throughout high school. When I lost 20 pounds, people were like, you look amazing. Mm-hmm. But then my body literally didn't change. It's just that they complimented me once and they didn't have to do it again. But I took that as my body must not be good anymore. So that's when I dove into anorexia. That's when I dove into bulimia because I was chasing after the compliments and it ended in just exhaustion and it ended in literally. And the thing is, if you get a compliment, you need another one because you're built on a shaky foundation.
Yeah, well, because in scripture says this, it says man is tested by his praise. Mm. So like you're literally tested by the praise that you receive. And a lot of times we take the praise and it goes straight to the head.
Yeah.
Straight to the heart. And we're like, oh yeah.
Look at me.
I can stand a little bit taller. Puff and then up. We crave that praise. And then there's so much of how much, and there's so much of, okay, how much of everything that you've done in the past year of your life is actually just for the praise and validation of other people. Oh my gosh, because we've gotten addicted to the oxytocin that comes from that praise, from that celebration.
Yeah.
So dangerous. So this is a side note. You know this, but, and I'm assuming that listeners know this too, but like, you guys know that it can be really dangerous commenting on other people's bodies, right?
Yes.
Like
it is so damaging.
It can be when you're commenting, even if a girl like loses a ton of weight and she just, you're like, wow, she looks phenomenal. And you tell her that like before knowing the story, you don't know if she's been having an eating disorder.
And then you're just affirming her eating disorder.
Yeah. She's like, oh, great. This is actually accomplishing what I wanted it to accomplish. And I didn't necessarily set out for your praise, but it feels pretty good.
So I want it again.
Yeah.
So my sister came back from London for Christmas and I'll never forget. My mom started complimenting her a lot on her body. And the problem was, is that she was getting all these compliments, but then she wasn't saying anything about mine. And so I think it was so easy for me to think, well, clearly there must be something wrong with my body if she's getting all these compliments. Yeah. And I remember basically sitting my mom down being like, you have got to stop complimenting her body and my body. And I know it's coming from a good place, but ultimately when you are complimenting her, it's making me believe the lie that I clearly, my body isn't good enough. It's not whatever enough, because if it was, you'd be saying the same things about me. And we actually got in this conflict over it. Like she goes, Nicoletta, I tell you you're beautiful all the time. I'm like, exactly. You tell me I'm beautiful, but then I am so quick to associate body comments with if I'm not getting them anymore, since we grew up with a lot of those comments being said, that means that maybe my face is beautiful, but my body isn't anymore. And granted, I know that's my own insecurities playing out. But with a history of a mom that would compliment me when I was thinner, but the compliments would stop when I was bigger, I'm so quick to associate that, man, my worth really is in the way I look. My worth really is that I'm more valuable when I'm thinner. And I first off want to say, you are not more valuable when you are thinner. Your body was good then and it's good now. And if you're seeking the, like my mom's opinion of my body doesn't matter. It only matters what the Lord says about my body and he looks at it and says it's good. But also, what do I think about my body? Because you're going to look great to one person and bad to another person. And that was really the conversation that we have over and over in Noble is going, you can't please everyone. And so what's the standard? Is this the standard? And what are you willing to do to get there? Because yeah. I refuse, and I say this all the time, I refuse to go back to starving myself and over-exercising so that I look a certain way.
Because or to get your approval. Yeah.
Yes, because when I did that, I was miserable. Mm-hmm. And so I have a choice of going back into this terrible lifestyle, maybe look better when actually I wasn't actually content, or gain a few pounds, maybe truthfully not love as much what I see in the mirror, but I am more confident than I've ever been in my entire life in a bigger body because I have truly been like, you know what? This body is not to look thin. This body is to steward well. And I will not starve myself in order to look more like culture because culture is a lie.
Yeah. So good. I think the other thing is we can't go around controlling what other people say. I think it's really cool that you had a conversation with your mom and just told her like, hey, I don't think this is what you mean, but this is the impact that it can have. Yeah. Obviously as a mom, that's like heartbreaking because she's doing her best and still like, she's like, I'm trying intentionally to make you know that you're beautiful to me totally. And things like that. And I think it's just eye opening to hear the other side of it yeah. and humbling. But the other thing is, one thing is that mom, like a mom specifically has a lot of power, you know?
I mean, my mom was my scale my whole life.
Yeah. That voice is probably stronger than other voices for you. But we can't control what your mom says. We can't control, you know, what anyone else says or thinks. And so I think the other thing is like, not you made me feel this way or you made me think this way. Yeah. It's stopping. Yes, I can address, you know, hey, it's probably not helpful. Like, can you say this instead?
Yeah.
But the hard work is saying, how am I going to respond someone makes those comments?
Yeah.
When someone, like knowing, okay, here's my thought process. Like, here's where I'm immediately going to go to. I'm going to catch those thoughts early in the spiral because the deeper you get, the harder it is to dig out. I'm going to catch those thoughts earlier in the spiral and have the truths ready to go. And that's where people have to do the hard work of I'm ready with my armor. I'm ready with scripture to fight back on what I know my ditches are when I hear comments like this. And we can be so reactive in our culture. Yeah. And it's like, even going home, you might just need to be ready. You know, you might need to be ready going into a party of like, hey, I'm with my really hot best friend and she's going to get all these compliments. And here's what that's going to do to me. Like, you just need to know that,
yeah,
you know, and get ready with truth.
And you have to fight back. And I think I also have to go, okay, even if my mom doesn't think my body's good right
yes.
now, even if she's like, Nicoletta looked better in high school, I am so proud of the work that I've done that I would rather be in a bigger body and free from an eating disorder
yes.
than be enslaved to the way that I was. And I know my mom feels the same way. She would rather me be able to sit down in front of a meal and have freedom as I eat food than be enslaved. But it's just interesting how our culture just praises
yeah.
physical appearance. Yeah. And it says in scripture, do not let your outward appearance, the adorning of jewelry, be where you find your worth, but let it come from the humble and quiet and gentle heart of the inward. And I know that's like so Jesus-y, so Christian-y, but it's true. The women that have impacted you the most are not because they're hot.
Yeah.
The women that have impacted you the most are the ones that love you, that care about you, that sit with you. And one of the lessons in Noble that we do is, tell me the women that have impacted you the most. And people are like, my mom, my sister. And I'm like, raise your hand if it's because she looked a certain way. And none of them can, because the women that have impacted us the most is because they look the most like Jesus. And even for you, like, you have impacted my life so much. And I'm not sitting here like, oh man, yeah, when I met Lauren Merge, that's when she played the biggest role. And when she had this body size, it's like, no. You have impacted me no matter your shape, no matter your size, because you love me, you care for me, you pursue me, you pray for me. That is what makes you beautiful to me. I think you're one of the most beautiful girls I know. But it's not because you look a certain way. You are beautiful externally. But there's...
I peaked a long time ago.
Come on, babe. Like, we've got to get that right. Like, are you spending more time on your external appearance? Or are you spending it by looking more like Jesus? And that's, once again, we're going to the bounce back. Are you trying to bounce back
yeah.
to a season that maybe you were in yeah. more captivity yeah. than you're in now? Like, get real with yourself.
Yeah.
Was that season actually as beautiful as it looked?
Yeah.
Externally.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's like, here's what we can feel as moms is like, no, it was a lot sexier then. Like, not just my body, but my lifestyle. Yeah. Everything was just more glamorous then. But scripture says that gray hair is a crown of beauty or a crown of honor. Wait. I'm losing it, whatever. It says something about gray hair. That's really good.
Yeah.
And so it's the same picture of like growing.
Yeah.
You grow in wisdom. Your body decays at the same moment where your value to humanity increases.
Yeah.
Like your value to mankind is actually a lot greater in this season of your life.
Yeah.
Than it was when you were a really hot 22-year-old.
That's so good. I wrote this down. It's a quote on comparison that I wrote for a devotional. It said, "The only comparison I want to do is to compare my life to Jesus. Am I living like him? Am I living for him? Am I pointing other people to him by how I live?" But, and it just was this picture of like, am I comparing more to the body, the old body I used to have, or am I comparing myself more to who Jesus is? And that's a really great standard, because then you always are going to strive for something better compared to always striving for something not worse, but more exhausting, more depleting. I don't know. I could go on to that. But okay, I know I asked you this question. I feel like you had a really great thought, but you never actually answered it. And I really want to give girls handholds. Is what do you say to the girl who actually wants to bounce back?
Yeah.
Whether that be for somebody that just went through a breakup, or your certain body size, or before trauma. Like, what are some beliefs or handholds and truths that girls can cling to when that lie comes in that says you need to bounce back?
Yeah.
Or you were better then?
I think the first thing I would say is you don't need to bounce back. You need to move forward.
Oh, girl, I'll preach. Come on. That's good.
Because you're looking at something that is no more. Like that is not you. And there are a lot of people who get stuck in the past. And I get it. I was a 90-pound cheerleader, flyer. Like, I was a lot prettier than I am now. I'm not saying that from a place of insecurity. It's just actual. Like, I really was.
I don't think that, but.
No, I mean, okay. It's okay, but I was. And it's fine. Like, I am, it's similar to you, Nicoletta, where it's like, I wouldn't go back to that. You know, yeah. I would take the wisdom that I have now, which is all from God, yeah. All from working through hard seasons, scripture. But I would take where I'm at now over the tiny body and the, you know,
yeah,
just less maturity.
Yeah.
You don't want to bounce back. You want to move forward. It's okay to have goals to attain to.
Totally.
It can help us. You know what I mean? Yeah. It gives you this sense of excitement. It teaches you the discipline of hard work when you're not seeing results. Because at the beginning of kind of a weight loss journey or any of that, you're not going to see immediate results. When you're trying to bounce back quickly, you're also probably doing more damage to your body than you actually are good, which isn't going to help you long term. So think about your future self.
Good things take time.
Good things take time. That's really good. It's a great way to put it. After you've had a baby specifically, like you need to heal your core.
Yeah.
And if you just try to lose weight before you do that, then you end up having problems later on. Later on in life, or incontinence where you like pee, sneeze and pee, or a mom pooch that's from an unhealed pelvic floor, like your core, all that stuff. Anyway, so you have problems later in life, back issues, things like that, if you don't like heal properly, which delays your ability to bounce back. So in culture, I just want to say, like, I see you, I get it. Like, I'm totally. So sorry. I'm really sorry that we've put this pressure and we praise the people who can just bounce back quickly. Cause it can make us feel less than if we don't do that. It can make us feel like, okay, she's the only one who is worthy of being praised. And that's actually not true. Proverbs 31 makes that clear. The hard worker is worthy of being praised. The one whose husband is known at the city gates because of his honor, because of his character, because of the way his wife sets him up for success. Like, there's so many other things that are actually so much more worthy of praise.
Yeah.
I think I just want to say I'm sorry for the expectations that culture has put on you. I'm sorry for the people in your life who have validated this lie that you are more worthy when you are thinner, that you are more worthy when you are successful, that you are more worthy when you look more like the world. Because Jesus was unstately in appearance.
Yeah.
Jesus came in the most humble of positions. And when you're focused on trying to bounce back, you might be actually becoming less like Jesus, which is not really what you want in life.
Dang.
And so I would focus on moving forward and say, what does moving forward look like? How can I have a healthy body today? And how can I work towards, like, okay, what's my goal? I'm not trying to have my old body. I'm trying to have a new body that is more fit, yep, that is, you know, more capable.
Yeah.
That I'm going to work out and do my best to look good for my husband, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something praiseworthy and honorable about that. Yeah. But like, what are you working toward? Are you working something that doesn't exist anymore and is way in the past? Like, you need to forget that. You need to move forward.
Yeah, truly. And I feel like, I mean, I'm going to read the verse that we already talked about in this episode, but it's Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. It's just that beautiful picture of like, he's doing a new thing and your body was good then and it's good now. Your story was good then and it's good now. And I think so often that we let the enemy win when he makes us look backwards. And so fight back, literally fight back and declare, no, 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 no. My body was not bad. It's not bad now, but it wasn't good then. It's just, we've got to fight the lies or we're going to be crippled by them. And even, once again, I always want to make sure that I give the whole context of the verse. But then 1 Peter 3 says, and it talks about wives and husband, but it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And I'm just like, dang, I love that it says the unfading beauty. Because you know what is fading? Your body.
Yeah.
You know what is fading? Wrinkles.
Which is why I said I'm not as cute as I used to be. And I say that confidently.
But I think you're more beautiful now than you were then because you look more like Jesus.
Exactly.
Truly. And I'm like, we have got to stop believing that beauty existed then. And that we are only beautiful if. It's like, no, what if you actually believed you're beautiful today? Because one, God says it. But two, you are more beautiful when you look more like Jesus, not when you look like culture.
We try so hard to stop aging. And somebody said this once, like, because we'll do the cheek fillers, we'll do the lip fillers, we'll do Botox. And like, yeah, it looks good. But somebody said this the other day, I think, yeah, it was maybe a guy. It was like all these women in their 30s, getting Botox, like you don't actually look younger. You just look like a woman in your 30s with Botox. I was like, oh, shoot. There's no shame to anyone who's done Botox, but we did a whole episode on this, Botox fillers and pictures you hate. And I'd probably stand up a little bit stronger than I did in that last episode of, I get it. I get wanting to fit the standard, especially in this season of your life where you feel forgotten.
Yeah.
That's just straight up what it is. You feel forgotten. Culture has forgotten you. Your work has already replaced you. Like you're forgotten. You're not getting all the hits on your bikini pics like you used to, like, cause you're not posting it. But, you feel forgotten. And, I think there is something that we're really, really missing. And we play into the hamster wheel that culture puts all these young girls on. We play into it, telling these 14-year-olds that they need to have lip fillers. You know, we play into it by saying, well, I want to be pretty. Like, you shouldn't do that, but I'm going to. Yeah. I want to get rid of my, like, y'all don't think I would look, I know that I would look better with Botox and some lip fillers. Like, I would. However, I want to be mindful. And I'm not saying I'm against that or not that I would ever not do it, but I want to be mindful of, like, what is the narrative that I'm creating for other people? Am I playing into this unrealistic standard that says this is what looks good? No, or am I raising my hand saying follow me as I follow Jesus? That's what I care about. I want to make you look more like Jesus. When you look at me, I want you to see him. When you follow me, like, I don't want you to look and say, like, how can I look like her? I want you to say, how can I be like her? Because that girl loves God.
And I loved how you said unrealistic standard of beauty. I think that's where we should end. It's unrealistic standard of beauty. No one actually has it. We're all chasing after the wind. No one actually is the standard of beauty, because the standard of beauty in which we want to look like is wanting to look like her. Who's wanting to look like her? There is no standard. When you actually then make the standard Jesus, you actually have a standard to follow. And it's so much, I don't know, it's just so much more freeing than chasing after, because right now this is in. Next year, this body part's going to be in. Next year, whatever, dark hair, blonde hair, red hair is going to be in. So if we're trying to chase after culture, you will never be content. You'll never actually arrive. You'll always be chasing after what is unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Once again, focus on what is unseen rather than what is seen, because what is unseen is eternal rather than what is seen is temporary.
Or asking like who's setting that standard? Because I think there are some, and not to like fully push back, because I agree with you, but there are some, like for instance, Hailey Bieber sets a lot of the trends and the beauty standards. Like she just does. And we would look at Hailey Bieber and be like, yeah, she's the standard of beauty. Like she's freaking gorgeous.
See, but I don't think she is. So then, I don't look at her and I'm like, wow, you're so beautiful. So then once again, it's different perspectives. Yeah. I don't look at her and think standard of beauty. I probably would ear more on Blake Lively.
Oh yeah.
She's, you know, gorgeous. What I mean? But I'm saying like different opinions.
Yeah.
I don't think Hailey Bieber's that pretty.
Oh, okay. I think regardless, like it's like there are a certain few people who have the resources and the money to change anything they want to, who, you know, have these bodies that are like the one-offs. Like that's not the normal person. Totally. You know what I mean? And like they're creating the standard that everyone is like attaining to be. And I love that what you just said of like, that's not even everybody's cup of tea.
And it's unrealistic.
And it's unrealistic, but like you just, sometimes it helps to like think back of like who's creating that standard and what standard am I trying to chase? Like, do I want to be like her or do I want to be like Jesus?
Dang, that's good. Well, y'all, we love you guys. We're grateful for you, truly. I mean, we could keep talking about this, but you just don't have to bounce back. You're allowed to be where you're at. Your body is good then. It's good now. And just rest in that. And if you love Call Her Whole and you love these episodes, we are still needing financial support. And so if you want to be a part of our mission, our cameras are overheating, honestly. And so we need new cameras and we're just figuring these tweaks out, but would love for you to be part of our team. You can donate at Venmo at Call Her Holy. And just thankful for all the people that have donated. Yeah. Truly. You guys are literally like, someone gave $1,000 last week and Laura and I were basically in tears because it provided exactly what we needed. And so you have no idea that your donations are a sign of God's grace in our life. So thank you. We love you guys and have a great week.